Amen. Well, it is a privilege and a blessing to be able to be here this evening with you. I appreciate the invitation, Pastor Jones, and coming back here is always a special thing because so many precious memories here at Cornerstone Baptist and just growing up here and the way that God used this place and this ministry in my life personally, it's just a wonderful thing to be able to reflect on God's goodness in that way. And so I'm so glad that you all braved the rain and the chilly weather to be here tonight. And at least in my mind, it's a famous picture of a group of believers in Russia. You may have seen the picture somewhere before. This group of people is gathered out in the woods in the snow. Snow's falling around them, snow all the way on the all around them on the ground, on their coats, and they're worshiping God in that weather, and they're worshiping out there, of course, because of the persecution. That was years ago. But what excuse do we have? None. So it's a privilege to worship God, privilege to preach God's word, and it's a privilege to sit under the preaching of God's word. I ask you this evening, if you would, to turn to Deuteronomy 8. And thankful to have my wife and kids with me this evening, my wife, Kiernan, and six kids. And so thankful for them and their service alongside me in the ministry. Deuteronomy 8 this evening. And I'd like to take the first several verses here of Deuteronomy 8. It's a special a chapter to me, and just a real sweet reminder of the goodness of God. But what I'd like to do this evening is to take the first six verses of Deuteronomy 8, and I'd like to examine the text here tonight, and I'd like all of us to consider the thought here tonight of improving our spiritual standard of living. Improving our spiritual standard of living. Now, you may be here tonight. You may have been saved for quite some time. Maybe 10, 15, 20, maybe 30, 40, 50 years. Maybe even more than that would be your testimony. Regardless of where you're at spiritually this evening, we know that there's always room for growth. There's always opportunity to improve our spiritual standard of living. In the world in which we live today, people are constantly looking to improve their standard of living. I'm talking about physically, materially, whatever the case may be. They may pursue that improved standard of living by purchasing a new house, maybe a new car or a boat, or perhaps trying to get the promotion at work, whatever it might be, maybe a new relationship, a new job, maybe exercise or a new skill, maybe education. Many ways to improve our spirit, our physical, material standard of living in the world in which we live. We're always looking to upgrade to the latest and the greatest, aren't we? Especially with the technology that we enjoy today. But I'd like to pose this question to you this evening. What is the level of desire in your heart to improve your spiritual standard of living? Do you have a drive within you to have the greatest relationship with God that you can possibly have? Would you allow the Holy Spirit to help you explore the answers to these questions tonight as we look into God's word? Now, the book of Deuteronomy is a rehearsal of the law of God and the keys for victorious living in the promised land. Of course, following Deuteronomy, we have Joshua, and we see in the book of Joshua the people conquering the land that God had promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In the book of Deuteronomy is a rehearsal of the law of God, and it provides for the people the keys for that victorious living that God wanted them to enjoy in the land that he had promised. Chapter 8 here in particular is a chapter that's focused upon encouraging God's people to remember God and what he had accomplished on their behalf. And this chapter here shows them how they can achieve the highest standard of living spiritually. And these truths in particular are what we'll focus upon this evening and ask the Lord to impress upon our hearts and lives. Would you pause with me, bow your heads, and let's go to prayer. Lord, I just pray that your Spirit would open the eyes of our understanding and that we would be sensitive to his work in our hearts this evening. Take your word, and I pray that you would plow, that you would plant the seed, and Lord, that there would be a fruit, Lord, as a result, fruit that remains. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Notice with me in the first six verses of Deuteronomy 8, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee and to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore, thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and to fear him. I'd like you to consider with me tonight four key thoughts that will help you and I to improve our spiritual standard of living. And the first this evening is found in verse 1, and that is this. If you would improve your standard of spiritual living, number one, you must realize that obedience is key to full spiritual potential. You must realize that obedience is key to full spiritual potential. Notice again with me in verse 1. Where the people of God are reminded, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. God's people had been promised a great promise, a promise of a great land, a promise of the multiplication of God's people. But key in their obtaining, in their attaining to the promises of God, was that they had to realize that obedience was key. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do. And so it's made clear here to the people of God as they prepare to enter into the promised land that their full potential would only be realized with a heart of absolute obedience. It was to be their intention to observe, to keep all the commandments of Jehovah. There were clear benefits to obedience which added up to the full potential that God had prepared and promised to them. Their own well-being, that of their families, and that of the entire nation, here we see in verse 1, was wholly dependent upon their obedience to what God had said. And what God had promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was at stake for them if they chose their own way. Many times, we who know Christ, we who are believers, are fooled into thinking that we can achieve our full spiritual potential our own way. We pass off the expectations of God for our lives as if they're merely suggestive in nature, when in reality they are binding rules of divine operation within our lives. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do. The phrase they're observed to do is a phrase that is echoed frequently throughout the book. And it comes from two Hebrew words, one meaning to keep or to guard, and the other meaning to do or to make. And so in modern vernacular, we would tell someone, instead of saying, you shall observe to do, we would say something like, you make sure that you do this, or you be sure to do that. It is a purposeful obedience, a careful obedience that God is calling His people to. God is looking for His people to carry out His commands in a purposeful, in a prioritized way, because that's the only way for God to get glory and for you and I to reach our full spiritual potential. Absolute obedience. And so number one, we see here that God makes clear to His people that if you will improve your standard of spiritual living, you must realize that obedience is key to full spiritual potential. But the second thought that we see here, and we find this in verse 2, is this. You must understand that God is working to reveal the content of your heart. In verse 2, we read this, and thou shalt remember. Number 1, observe to do. Number 2, remember. Remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep His commandments or no. You and I who know God must understand, and we must accept that God is always working to reveal the content of our hearts. See, Moses follows the command to carefully obey with a call to remember. Now, this remembrance was to keep them in that heart pursuit of obedience. God's people had a 40-year history upon which they could look back since their departure from Egypt. And Moses tells them what they were to see as they looked back. Notice again in verse 2. Thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. They were to look back over the past 40 years. They were to see and remember the way in which God had led them. Now, He wasn't talking in terms of geography. He was talking in terms of divine purpose. God's divine leading in their lives. And He knew it was important for them to understand how God was working so that they could see what the purpose was that He was pursuing in their lives. He lays out God's method out for them. Notice again in verse 2. He says, remember the way the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. And what was God's purpose here? It was to humble them, to prove them, to know what was in their hearts, whether they would keep His commandments. And in doing so, humbled them. He caused them to suffer hunger, and He fed them with manna. You see, the humbling work of God is always in effect in your life and my life. God is always looking for a humble people. And when God's people are lifted up in pride and self-confidence and self-dependence, God's ready to step in and bring them back to humility. You see, pride attempts to steal God's glory. And that's why God must work humility into us to take it back. And the pride of God's people was a threat to their spiritual fulfillment. And so God used various methods to humble their hearts, didn't He? So He calls them to remember all the way which the Lord led them in the wilderness to humble them. But notice, secondly, He says, and to prove thee. The idea here is a testing. You see, God's practice was to reveal the content of their heart through testing. Specifically, it was a test for a heart attitude of obedience. Now, this test wasn't for the Lord's benefit. He already knew the content of their hearts. But the proving that God worked in them in the wilderness was to prove the content of their hearts to them. They needed to see and they needed to know what was in their heart. And God knew how to bring it out. God knew how to draw it up to the surface so they could see the ugliness of sin and self. So they could humble themselves then again before His face. He says that God's purpose was to humble them and to prove them, to know what was in their heart. The heart of man, as Jeremiah says, is deceitful above all things. And it must be exposed for you and I to have an honest view of ourselves. And so Jehovah exposed His people time and time again, and He revealed their hearts, which led many times to their repentance. Bottom line is, without honesty, there is no possibility for change, for spiritual change. And that's why David prayed in Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. He said, "Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." He was asking God to do what He had done for His people in the wilderness. Prove my heart. Show me the contents. In Exodus 16, if you'll keep your finger here in Deuteronomy 9 and turn over to Exodus 16 with me, I'd like you to notice the way in which God tested them. One of the ways in which God tested them. Exodus 16, we find the Israelites here complaining that they are starving. Now, if you have children, you hear that on a regular basis. But these people were in a desperate situation for sure. Exodus chapter 16, they weren't in a hopeless situation, but it was desperate, humanly speaking. But God was in control. We see here in verse 2 of Exodus 16, the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, "Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." What a charge. But God, being the patient God, being the teaching God, the compassionate God that He is, He responds in verse 4, and then says the Lord unto Moses, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no." So God tests them, and He tests them in two ways. In verses 13 through 20, and we'll not read all the text for sake of time, but in verses 13 through 20, we find that the first test was the test of gathering only what was necessary for one day and consuming it all and not leaving any left over for the next day. Now, some failed to obey God, and the manna, the extra manna that they had collected that they didn't eat, rotted and is no good the next day. And so that was the first test. But the second test in verses 21 through 29 was the test of gathering enough on the sixth day for 2 days. They were not to gather any on the seventh day because it was to be a day of rest. And so God would miraculously preserve that which was gathered on the sixth day so that it would not be rotten on the morning of the seventh day. Now, some failed to obey, or the eighth day, sorry. Some failed to obey, and they went to gather on the seventh day, and they found no provision. And so God tests them in two ways to expose whether their heart was obedient or disobedient. God-dependent or self-dependent. And these tests that God gave to them revealed that the satisfying of their physical needs was more important than the satisfying of their spiritual needs in some instances. Some of God's people were more focused on consuming bread than they were obeying the words of God. And this is what God was revealing by testing their hearts. That leads us to the third step or component of improving your spiritual standard of living. We've seen, number one, you must realize that obedience is the key to full spiritual potential. Number two, you must understand that God is working to reveal the content of your heart. But number three, I'd like you to notice here that you must learn what your most precious resource is. Join me again in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and notice in verse 3. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. You see, if you are going to improve your spiritual standard of living, you must learn what your most precious resources are. In addition to revealing to these people the content of their hearts, God was busy at work in his people to reveal to them, to show them, to prove to them what their most precious resource was. Notice his specific work. He had humbled them by allowing them to hunger. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna. And so he humbles them by allowing them to hunger. And then he feeds them with manna, a form of food they had never seen. And in this, Jehovah demonstrated so pointedly that they were absolutely dependent upon him. They had no alternative but to receive from the hand of the Lord and to receive it exactly as he said to receive it and to receive it exactly as he gave it. And God was showing them and he was teaching them if the promise that he had given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob would be brought to fruition in their lives, then they must learn to obey and they must learn to value what God values. So they had to learn what their most precious resource was. They were not being provided any sustenance by the Egyptians any longer. They were not provided any sustenance by the barren wilderness in which they had wandered. And they would not be provided any sustenance in the promised land by those that they'd be driving out. So God had them in a catch-22, spiritually speaking. He was their only source of sustenance. They were without food. And when he provided them food, they had to depend upon him to provide it daily. And so in revealing the content of their heart, God had proved them to be most concerned with that which sustained them physically and not that which sustained them spiritually. And in that moment, he had also demonstrated the absolute necessity of that which sustains spiritually. If you remember what we read in, or what we talked about in Exodus 16, God made certain requirements surrounding the gathering of the manna. And in doing so, he demonstrated that his word was of utmost importance. God's purpose in this was to teach them that man, according to verse 3 here, does not live by bread alone. It is not that alone which keeps us alive. More importantly is spiritual sustenance through obedience to God's word. Notice again in verse 3. He humbled thee. He suffered thee or allowed you to hunger. And then he fed you with manna, which you thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know. Why did he do that? That he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God doth man live. That was God's purpose, to teach them that man is not simply sustained by physical sustenance, but by spiritual sustenance. And that spiritual sustenance comes to us through obedience to God's word. If God's word was not obeyed, then God's provision would not be enjoyed. It's no different for you and me today in 2021. If God's word is not obeyed in your life, God's provision cannot be enjoyed. You remember when Christ was tempted of the devil in Matthew 4? He had been without food for 40 days. He was hungry, and the devil tempts him to turn stones into bread. In response, Christ quotes Deuteronomy 8:3. And in doing so, Christ showed that, by example, that obedience to God's word is more life-giving than to have the physical needs of life met. And so for you and I who know Christ, our most precious resource is the spiritual sustenance that comes by our careful obedience to every word that God has spoken. So you and I must learn what our most precious resource was. My wife showed me a video today on YouTube that was fascinating. And one of the kids asked her about mountain goats. And so she got on her phone and she did a little bit of research. And she came across this video about these, it was a documentary about these ibex in Italy. And it's just fascinating how their bodies needed, and specifically their nervous system needed these minerals, and specifically salt. And so there are these video clips of these ibex climbing up this steep dam in Italy somewhere. And it was dry. There's no water coming over the dam, but it's dry. It's made out of stone and concrete. And they had to be going, this dam had to be over 100 feet high. Steep, very steep. And these ibex are climbing up the sheer face of this dam to get near the top where these mineral deposits had been left by the water that previously flowed over the dam. And the salt and the mineral and the minerals there were vital to their ability to continue to live. They needed it for their dexterity. And so it's kind of like a vicious circle. If they didn't get the minerals and the salt that was left on the dam, then they couldn't nimbly make their way up the dam. But they never could make it up if they didn't have that. And so it was a vicious circle. They had to be able to get that sustenance that they needed in order to continue getting it. It was just amazing to watch them climb this sheer cliff. But that was their most precious resource. They weren't going to make it without those minerals and that salt. And you and I, similarly, in a spiritual sense, must go to great lengths. We must make any sacrifice necessary, every sacrifice necessary, to feast on the sustenance that God has provided us spiritually so that we can improve that spiritual standard of living. Bring us to where God wants us to be, that he might receive glory. I'd like you to notice in our text, lastly, this fourth thought, and that is that you must choose to trust God's care. You must choose to trust God's care. You see, improving your spiritual standard of living can only be accomplished by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so God's people in the wilderness and the promised land, they were only successful as they trusted God's care. And they failed every time that they failed to trust God's care for them. Throughout their journey, they found his care revealed in two primary ways. We see them here in verses 4 and 5. Notice with me in the text. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. And so we see that they had to learn to choose to trust God's care as revealed in His provision. Their clothes didn't wear out, didn't fall to dust. Their feet didn't swell. For 40 years, God sustained them as they learned to trust Him. His provision, God's provision, as we've already seen, was the only option. It was the only option they had, and if they were going to see God provide, they had to trust His care. It wasn't a blind trust, however. Faith, trust, is never blind with God. They had the promise of God from Exodus 6 in which He pledged to rid them out of bondage and to redeem them, to take them to Himself for a people, to be their God, and the promise to bring them into the land that was promised to their forefathers and to give it to them for a heritage. That was God's promise to them. And that was what they were to sink their faith into. They had the evidence of God's power and faithfulness in those past 40 years. The overthrow of the Egyptian army caused them to fear the Lord and to believe Him and His servant Moses. They had ground and evidence upon which to base their trust in God because of the way that He had cared for them. And you and I who know God must choose to trust His care as revealed in His provision for our needs. Physical, spiritual, material. God provides everything that we need. But there's a second way in which God's care was revealed to His people, and we find that in verse 5, where we read, "Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee." And they had to learn that in God's chastening upon their lives, that they could learn to trust God's care. That was proof for them. You must trust God's care because it's revealed in His punishment, in His chastening. In the fact and the truth that He will not let you go if you're His child. And so Moses includes for the people here in verse 5 an interesting command that he knows will build their faith if they follow it. Consider in thine heart that as a man that loves his son, chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God who loves you will chasten you. Consider God's care, His love for you. Your faith will be built as you consider it. As a father chastens the son whom he loves, so our Heavenly Father chastens those that He loves. In essence, He's telling them here that they must understand the punishing hand of God to be a sign of His love and care for them. You see, a human father that loves his son hurts him at times in love. It may come as a stern look that hurts the heart. It may come as a sharp rebuke that hurts the pride, or maybe a stinging spanking that hurts the flesh. But the goal is to prevent future self-inflicted pain through wrong attitudes and actions. And if you're going to increase your spiritual standard of living, you have to come to a greater trust in God's care. And often that's revealed through His chastening in our lives. It's all part of a teaching and training process that has the Son's best interests at heart. That temporary pain that's inflicted speaks to the Son, to the child of God, of the love and care that's within our Father's heart. And God's people and you and I have to learn to trust God's care as revealed in His punishment. And so I ask you this evening as we consider what God's people were told I ask you this morning or this evening, where are you at spiritually? Are you realizing your full spiritual potential in faithful obedience to the Lord and to His Word? Do you understand and embrace that God is working to reveal the content of your heart? Are you okay with God testing you to show you the content of your heart so that you can know how to faithfully obey His Word? Have you learned that your most precious resource is not that which sustains you physically or materially, but rather the Word of God that sustains you spiritually? Do you readily choose to trust the care of God for your life? Now Moses follows verse 5 with a simple command. Would you look at that with me in verse 6? And he says, therefore, based upon God's working in your life, based upon the command to obey, based upon the understanding that God is testing you to reveal the content of your heart so that you can obey more fully and more faithfully, based upon the fact that your most precious resource is the Word of God, based upon the fact that you can trust God's care, whether it comes through His provision or through His chastening. Based upon that, keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in His ways and to fear Him. In continued fulfillment of God's redemption plan in you, He is ever focused upon your obedience, that you may fear and walk in His ways. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the precious example that we have, Lord, of your people and the challenge that you gave to them, the faithfulness that you displayed to them. Lord, I pray that we would take this example, this challenge this evening, and I pray that you would search our hearts with these truths. Lord, show us what's in our heart. Lord, is it a disobedient self-dependence or is it an obedient God-dependence? Lord, what's there? Help us, dear God, to have our eyes opened. I pray that you would put in us a heart that cries out to you, Lord, test me, show me what's in my heart, and help me to walk in your way. Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand and to learn, to know in a greater way that we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of your mouth. And I pray, dear God, that you would cherish, that you would help us to cherish your precious word. I pray that it would be our lifeline. Lord, I pray as well that you would teach us to trust you, to trust in your care, your provision for us, to trust, Lord, even in chastening, to know that you chasten us because you love us. And I pray, dear God, that our hearts would be moved, and that by your Holy Spirit's help, we would see, Lord, the standard of living spiritually that we are at this point in our lives, and that, oh God, that we would long for something greater. And that we would allow your continued hand of work in our hearts and lives, Lord, to cause us to continue to grow in the knowledge of Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to increase in the standard by which we are living, that you might receive more glory. We ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.